Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Wow, it's 11:30. You know, my sermons usually go 50 minutes, an hour. But I can't do that today. I will have you guys out of here at 12 o'clock. We are in our discipleship study, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are in the section of be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And we get that from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense, a reason for the hope that is in you. Why do you believe what you believe? How do you know it's true? So in this section, we've been talking about a lot of hard subjects, a lot of tough questions. Today, we just finished up worldwide flood of Noah. All the evidence there, we spent 7 weeks there. It's very important because it'll connect to what we're going to be learning today or the next couple weeks. Now we're going to be talking about millions of years. And this is something we've been taught. Humanity's been taught for a long time. And it's just crazy, just insane for anyone to doubt millions of years. It's just fact. Dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago. Again, we love science here. We love good science. Because good science is based on the laws of God. On a creator who intelligently designed the universe. We love good science. And there's lots of good science. Remember when we talked about how do we know this is the Word of God? How much science is in this book before science was ever even developed? God was way ahead of all of them. And the Bible says the earth is not millions of years old. And I know that's challenging to say in our culture today. But I ask as we begin this study, and I'm not going to get very far because I'm almost out of time already. What I have before me in this sermon that'll probably last maybe next Sunday as well, maybe the following Sunday, but I should be able to get it done today and next Sunday. I will prove to you beyond any shadow of a doubt, millions of years is not true. And I really challenge you to come back and hear. You've heard one side for your whole life. You've heard one side, their view of the age of the earth and all this stuff. And I challenge you, don't close your ears to this side. get both sides and make a reasonable, educated, on the evidence judgment. Now, I'm going to show you a video. I want you to listen to this video because you may not think it connects with what we're going to be talking about, but it actually does. So go ahead and play it.
We hear words like Christian nationalism, like the new apostolic reformation. These are groups that you should get very schooled on because they have a lot of power in Trump's circle. And the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining man. Men, mm-hmm. Are determining what God is telling them. And in the past, that so-called natural law is, you know, it's a pillar of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Catholicism, for instance, has been used for good in social justice campaigns. Right. Martin Luther King evoked it in talking about civil rights. But now you have an extremist element of conservative Christians who say that this applies specifically to issues including abortion, gay marriage, and it's going much further than that.
So, we all know what the Constitution says. The Declaration of Independence, right? Our rights come from the Creator. Now, on the political side of this, I think over the next several months leading up to election, you're going to hear this phrase a lot, Christian nationalists. What they're trying to paint is white supremacy. That's what they're trying to paint. Fanatics. And you're going to hear that term a lot. And how does she define one of the aspects of being a Christian nationalist? Well, you believe our rights come from God. Well, our founding fathers did too. Right? Now, what's dangerous about this view here? It's obvious from her statement that she doesn't believe in God. And she doesn't believe in the Word of God. Which is her choice. But when you believe that there is no God and that your rights come from a government official or a government itself, then if the government has given us these rights, then the government can do what with those rights? Take them away. That's very dangerous on the political side. But that movement's growing in America. Now, on the biblical side of this, natural law is not from Catholicism. Natural law was established in Genesis chapter 1, thousands of years before the Catholic Church became the Catholic Church. And we're Christianity, Baptists, Protestants, we didn't come from the Catholic Church, but that's a whole other story. Natural law says that God established the universe with the laws that He intended. Natural law says God is in control. And God does have the right to tell us about what they call political issues, which are the really moral issues. And she named two of them, the abortions and the LGBTQ community, right? Well, God clarifies what is sexually immoral. Everything outside of a husband and wife, a man and a woman who are married, any sex outside of that relationship is wrong. Period. Whatever form you want to find it. An abortion? God says, I knew you in the womb. He says about the babies in the womb, He's already ordered the days of their lives. The Bible says, do not shed innocent blood. If you do, you're a murderer. There's no more innocent blood than a baby. So it's not, you know, we think God's telling us this. He's written it down. And we've already proven that this is beyond the creation of man. Go back and listen to that sermon series and you'll see. So, Why am I showing you this? Just to be political today? No. She has bought into a worldview. All of us have a worldview. Either it's going to be based on the truth of God or it's going to be based on some other false thing out there. But everyone has a worldview, how they think the world operates and how life and death and is there life? All that's part of a worldview. How you're going to judge and vote and how you treat people. It's all from your worldview. She has a worldview that rights come from government and she doesn't believe in the issues that God speaks against. She believes she's for them. So it's obvious she doesn't look to God or believe in God or to the Bible. I think she's bought into the big lie that God does not exist. But even if she hasn't bought into that, lots of people have. Now, that's a big lie. With all the evidence God has given us of His existence, to not believe in Him is a high platform to set yourself upon. How does a person get there? How does a person get to the point where they can say, in their human understanding, there's no human that knows all the things in the known universe, for a human to go, there is no God? How do you get there? Doesn't happen overnight. We see, that's the biggest lie a person could believe. But there's some foundational lies that you must first believe to get to the point where you can say, there is no God. I'm not accountable to no God. No God is going to judge me. What are some of those foundational lies? Well, two things we're going to cover in this sermon. The Big Bang, which we've already talked about, but we're going to go a little farther. The Big Bang, where nothing was there and nothing exploded, and millions of years. You see, if you can buy into these two lies, and we will show they are lies, they go against the evidence. But if you can buy into those two lies, then you can believe the big lie. God doesn't exist. So I got three videos, which is probably going to take up it's probably going to take up 10 minutes or so. But I want you to listen because I'm going to present the other side to you. I want you to know what they teach. These videos, there's three of them I'm about to show you, come from the public school system. This is what they're teaching. Now, when you watch these, I have to ask you, is there scientific evidence for what they're saying? Or does it sound more like it's coming from an imaginary place? The mind of these scientists. You see, science can be really good, but if you put a little bit of bad science in, it can ruin it. Just like if you have mouse rat poison. If you check the ingredients, it's 99% good food. The rat is getting 99% good meal. 1% poison. But it kills the rat. Science is good, but if you put in poison, and you're going to hear, I want you to judge for what you're listening to. Was there anybody there to see this stuff? Is there any physical evidence of what they're saying? And see how you know something's not right when it goes 180 degrees out from what this says. Then those flags should go off going, wait a minute, God says this, and you're saying this. Okay, so here we go. Play the first one.
In fact, the whole universe is expanding in all directions, getting bigger and bigger, like a balloon inflating. I admit this sounds strange, but to cosmologists, it's like winning the lottery. Because to work out where the universe came from, all we need to do is to stop time and make it run in reverse. Rewind far enough, and everything gets closer together. A lot closer together. All the galaxies, in fact, every single thing, converges to a single point, the start of everything, 13.7 billion years ago. So it's quite simple, really. Follow the clues, and we can deduce that a very long time ago, the universe simply burst into existence. An event called the Big Bang. But I'm afraid we have to stop a moment. Before we get carried away by fire and noise, at the very beginning, the Big Bang actually happened in total darkness because light didn't exist yet. To see it, we'd have needed some kind of cosmic night vision. But even this, a view from the outside, is impossible. Again, it sounds strange, but space didn't exist then either. So there was no outside. The only place there was inside. This early universe was a very strange thing indeed. There's still much I'd dearly love to know about it. But standard concepts of time or space don't really apply. It was just a very tiny, ultra-hot fog of energy. Then it expanded. With a tremendous flash of radiation. From smaller than an atom to about the size of an orange in less than a trillionth of a second. Almost no time at all. The universe simply inflated into existence, unfolding, unfurling, getting bigger and cooler with every passing moment. Within 100 seconds, it was as big as our solar system, trillions of miles across. While this was happening, the pure energy of the cosmos began to cool and create matter in the form of countless trillions of subatomic particles. The first stuff there ever was. Half these particles were made of matter, the same kind of stuff which makes us. The rest were made of the opposite of matter, stuff called antimatter. When the two meet, they destroy each other in a flash of energy. Building a universe is a pretty wasteful process. Fortunately, there was just a bit more matter than antimatter. Just one in a billion particles of stuff survived. Which was lucky for us, because that residue is what our present-day universe is made of. You could say that we are made of the smoke of the Big Bang. By the time the cosmos was 10 minutes old, it was already thousands of light years in diameter. After that, everything spread out and cooled for about 330,000 years. When finally the fog cleared and the universe became visible.
Okay. So, part of me, I get mad with this because we see the glory of God in His creation. We talked about the mathematical precision of the universe. It's mathematically precise. All the laws are mathematically precision. We see the artistry, we see the beauty, and we see life, the DNA, and the the complexity beyond complexity of life. Everything appears to be designed. Even the atheists say the appearance of design, but it's not real. We're the smoke of the Big Bang. That's what you are. Another person says we're stardust. We're just dust. There's nothing miraculous about you. There's nothing special about you. You're just an animal. And you have no meaning and no purpose in this universe. That bothers me because God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I love you and I have plans for you. I have an inheritance for you. So I'm trying to, when I watch these things and I teach these things, I try to keep my cool. I could spend 3-4 hours dismantling that video. Everything they said goes against science. Matter was created. Well, the first law of thermodynamics is what? Matter cannot be created or destroyed. That's the first law of thermodynamics. But all of a sudden, matter came from nothing. Nothing was there, but they said something was there. There was no outside, but there was inside. Please, someone, explain that to me. You can go outside your body, but you can go inside your body because it's there. You can go outside this building, but you can come inside it because it's here. There was no outside to the universe, but there was an inside. It's irrational. This is 13.5 billion years ago. Folks, was anybody there to witness this? Now, do we have evidence that the universe had a beginning? Yes! As the Bible always said, in the beginning. Science used to say the universe was eternal. We're going to get to that. The universe always existed, but then, lo and behold, we found scientific evidence that the universe, time, space, and matter came into existence from nothing. The question is, was there purpose and design behind it? Was there intelligence behind it? Was there a God? Or did it all just happen by accident? And how does nothing explode? What causes nothing to explode? How does nothing explode? And how does everything come from nothing? Again, I could tear this thing apart. And they said there was no universe. There was no light. There was no space. There was no light. But then he says, I would love to know about this early universe, the inside. Well, wait a minute, if there's nothing there, how is there an inside? And why are you calling it the early universe when you said there's no universe? But then there was something there that exploded. What caused that? Cause and effect. That's scientific, isn't it? Every effect has a cause. Well, what caused the Big Bang? It just inflated. It just decided to. Again, I would love, that's what they're teaching you. That is the theory of the origin of the universe, of our planet, and eventually life. And evolution fits in there, which we're going to go over as well. But that's the beginning. Now, we believe in the beginning too. God. And I showed you the evidence for God and against the Big Bang. Well, we showed just the evidence we have in the universe. And it all stacked up under God, not under nothing exploding. We talked about it. Go back and listen to that sermon. But it was 13.5 billion years ago. I want you to watch the next video. Here we go.
99% of all species that ever lived were wiped out in a series of global catastrophes, disasters that pushed life to the edge of extinction. But without them, we simply wouldn't be here. Just after its birth, a violent event in the solar system changed the Earth forever. Two planets collided in the cold void of space, and one of them was ours. The impact nearly destroyed our world, but instead made it a home.
planet is around 4.5 billion years old. During that time, it has lurched from one terrible disaster to the next. It's tough to get a handle on the enormous timescale of the events that shaped us. To put it in perspective, imagine the whole of Earth's violent history compressed into the 24 hours of a single day. The clock started ticking at midnight, and the first catastrophe was just minutes away. Our solar system hadn't even finished forming. 20 infant planets circled a new star, our sun. One of them was Earth. Its surface was a vision of hell. There was no water, no oxygen, and the entire planet was shrouded in toxic volcanic gases. But now, before the Earth had a chance to stabilize, it collided with another infant planet circling the sun in an impact of biblical proportions. The collision was so catastrophic that it nearly annihilated the young Earth. But instead of destroying it, it set up a chain of events that transformed the planet and triggered the birth of life itself. Without this disaster, no life, including us, would be here.
You think it would have left a dent. Next slide, Levi. You know what I'm saying? We've got this beautiful round Earth. It doesn't seem to have a dent in it from being hit by another planet. Man. Scene of hell was the Earth's surface. God says in the beginning it was water. All water. They said no water. See, it's the exact opposite. Why? Why does everything they believe in have to be exactly opposite of what this says? Because there's an enemy, there's a prince of darkness in this world. Satan is real, and he's an enemy of God, and he wants humanity to go down the same trail he has gone in rebellion against God. And so he has taught humanity not to trust in this, to trust in themselves. Believe things that nothing is there and nothing exploded. There is no God behind it. You see, you start believing these lies, then he can get you to believe the big lie. There is no God. 2 planets colliding causes all life. They never explain that. Again, was anyone around to see this? This event of biblical proportions? Last video, let's play.
Leftover bodies. If one of those crashes into the Earth, just as the Earth has finished forming, that can blow out material from which the moon could form in orbit around the Earth.
Hartman built up a picture of the moment Earth collided with another planet. Imagine the scene. The newly formed Earth hurtling around the solar system, and 20 other planets doing exactly the same thing. One of them, Theia, was about the size of Mars. And it was orbiting the Sun at exactly the same distance as the Earth. The two planets were on a collision course. Theia hit the Earth at 25,000 miles an hour, with the force of billions of megaton bombs. The impact ripped off huge sections of the Earth's crust. Billions of tons of debris blasted into space. A ring of red-hot dust and rock formed around the Earth. Over the next 100 years, the rocks and dust slowly clumped together into a ball 1/50th the size of Earth. We call it the Moon. When Hartman suggested the idea in the 1960s, people had a tough time accepting it.
You think? But they do now. 20 planets were there in the beginning. How many do we have now? 7, 8, no one knows anymore, right? Pluto and all that. But they had 20 back then, 13.5 billion years ago. How do they know that? Is anybody there? They named one, Dia. They had to give it a woman's name because she's the one that caused everything, right? The big problems, right? Woman. I think that's pretty male chauvinist of them. Should have called it a male name. Wow. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, and it is so true. Not all science is science. And there is a humanistic, naturalistic, secular humanism that is a religion of faith. You're seeing it. You have to take this stuff by faith. Faith that nothing was there, but there was inside, but no outside. And that nothingness inflated, it became the universe and designed a mathematically precise universe with all its laws governed and created life, which we're going to get into more, the life, the DNA code and all this. By faith, you have to believe that came from nothing. By faith, if you believe that, you have no meaning, no purpose. Oh, you might try to put a meaning and purpose to your life. You might try to serve some higher cause. But in reality, when you're dead and nobody cares again, and you're going to be forgotten in 100 years. Your life has no meaning. Why would people want to believe this? Well, there's a good reason, and the Bible tells us. As far as I can get today. But go to the next slide, Levi. This is what we will hit next week. Can I show you where this is a huge lie, and I can prove to you it's a lie? I want you to hear the evidence, and I want you to come to your own conclusion now. Where did millions of years come from? And I will show you. I'll show you exactly where it came from and when it happened. And it's something you've never been taught before. Go to Team Jesus, be his church slide. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you for everyone that came out today. Lord, I thank you that we could celebrate communion together to remember what you have done for us. And Lord, we can start this new series, this new subject on millions of years. Lord, I hate that they've robbed the glory from you, that taken the truth and hijacked it. But Lord, I pray that you'll guide us, that we'll be able to present the truth here, and people will be able to judge for themselves where the evidence points, where the facts lay. But Lord, you said you are the truth. And if we put you to the test, if we put your word to the test, science will prove you. Evidence will prove you. And not the other way around. Lord, I pray you bless us when we reveal this, because this is one of the lies that is keeping many people from believing in you. To go live their life no matter how, without any concern of accountability or judgment. And Lord, we don't want people to be ignorant. You don't want people to be ignorant that you exist and that we are accountable to you. You're a holy, just, loving God. And people need to understand that we have betrayed you. We have been your enemies through our wicked deeds and through our minds. And you want to forgive us. You want to wash us clean. But there's a few things we must understand, and there's a right way of coming to you, and there's many wrong ways. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, I ask you to help us through these subjects, point people to the truth. Lord, thank you for the those that are here today. I know we still have some that are out, Rusty and Rhonda, and I know they're still dealing with a lot of things. John is home with the little one. And so, Lord, those that aren't with us, I just ask you to be with them. Put your healing hands on them. And I ask you, Lord, to let the rest of us go out this week, be salt and light, be truth, so the world can see that there is hope. There is great hope found in you. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up? We'll get out of here as Team Jesus. We're going to go out into the playing field of the world. We're going to live for our King. We're going to live in such a way, hopefully, it's well-pleasing to Him. Live in, that's true worship. You really want to worship God? You go live out there for Him this week. Be salt and light. On the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three, break. Let's go.